It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
You know what I want to talk about?
What's that?
Weed drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, or to be more accurate, legal cannabis products in a state where weed is not legal.
Yeah, because so
they exist.
THC infused beverages is what you're talking about specifically? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to break this down a little bit for people who might not be as into you know, recreational drugs as I am.
Okay.
So THC is, strictly speaking, the thing that gets you high. It is the chemical that gets you high within weed. People talk about CBD like it's like a weak. No, CBD doesn't get you high. None of those other ones are psychoactive at all. They don't do it. THC is the thing that does it. That being said, there are theories that my own personal anecdotal experience seemed to back up of what is referred to as the entourage effect, which is to say that THC, when taken with CBD, CBNG, other cannabidinols, produces a greater than the sum of its parts response.
Sure.
Marijuana plants are illegal in a lot of states and federally illegal. However, there is something called Delta 9 that is legal federally, is like actually literally legal federally. Like, I believe it is part of the Farm Bill of 2018. And what it has to do is hemp is legal.
Yeah.
Because hemp has all sorts of industrial uses, and it's great stuff. And it has negligible amounts of THC in it. Marijuana is a specific version of cannabis that has all the fun stuff. Hemp is boring shit. You can't get high from it. In fact, legally, it has to have less than 0.3% THC in it. 0.3% THC. Otherwise, it counts as marijuana and it's terrible. But we're a very clever species. And if you suck out the 0.3% of THC out of a metric fuck ton of hemp, you can get something to get you high. And technically it's legal. And so technically it's around. And this first came to my mind because I found out that there is a company called Climbing Kites. And they make essentially sparkling waters, with flavored sparkling waters that have THC and CBD in them. And they're everywhere, and they're for sale at various bars and liquor stores in Iowa City. And I was like, interesting. Maybe I'll look into this. And I did look into this, and I was like, interesting. Probably won't be great for me, because the levels are very low, and I, for whatever reason, quite likely having to do at least partially with body weight, when I am taking weed, I am taking more than most people take, or at least the people I hang out with. Mm. Even when I haven't had it for a while and my tolerance is non-existent, if I took the amount that Trish takes, and I have, I feel nothing. I feel absolutely nothing. Mm. And the amount that Trish takes is more than two of these drinks. The amount I would need to take for what is sort of my normal thing would be about a little more than seven of them. But yesterday, I don't know, I was a little restless yesterday, and I was like, I'm going to go on an adventure. And something reminded me of Climbing Kites, and I was like, maybe I'll go get some, see what they taste like, see if it does. You know, maybe it's the equivalent, maybe it'll be the weed equivalent of having a couple beers and getting buzzed. Like, that could be nice. I don't know. We'll find out. So I go. So I go to this liquor store, top shelf liquor in Iowa City. Highly recommend. Didn't think I would. It's a liquor store. It's got all these signs up about how we'll fucking kill you if you shoplift and all that. And I'm like, this is not. I don't love this, but where else I go? Walking, it's super clean, lots of natural light. It's gorgeous. Run by the sweetest, chattiest little Indian lady who I believe owns the place. It appears, based on the shapes and colors and numbers of bottles, to have absolutely every alcohol ever created. I don't know, but it seems to. And that's when I found out there's a bunch of these drinks of different brands. And even you can buy fucking edibles. You can buy gummies at the counter that have THC in them. And I was like, who knew? So I didn't buy any gummies. I bought a variety. I bought three different 4-packs of things from different brands or whatever. And I have now tried them once. I drank several of them over the course of a few hours. Did they get me high? Yeah, some. Did they make me uncomfortable for the amount of carbonated beverage I had to drink? Yes. And I took Gas-X preemptively, and it still was not a fun time. Felt very bloated, very uncomfortable. And it was just, it's impossible to explain, but it was very one note in a way that getting high normally isn't for me. Like it wasn't like being drunk, which also I think of as sort of a one note thing. But it was fine. I mean, I didn't have a bad time, but it wasn't that exciting and so expensive. For the cost of these 12 cans of sparkling things, all of which had enough THC to cover just under 5 of the standard gummies that we use. For the money I spent on that, I could have bought 20 really good gummies. And yeah, that's Illinois prices, which are way higher than most places.
Yeah, I mean, I actually know some people who have tried these and also had a similar experience. And by the way, the gummies that you could buy, I think I know people who've bought those too, and they're also not as effective as, you know, what you would get at a dispensary like in Illinois.
But they work. Because I've known people, because like some of us, I'm going to get so in trouble because all the police always listen to the podcast. Some of us might live an hour away from other places that have legal weed.
Yeah.
And might just drive there to deal with it. Or some of us might know people in town who have acquired weed by reasons we don't question, and we buy it without discussing the provenance. But some people are squares and don't know any cool people like that, and also live in a place where like it's illegal there and every state around them is illegal and stuff.
And some Delta people are
very handy.
Some people are squares but do know people.
See? Yeah.
I was square.
William doesn't do weed. He buys it in massive quantities and just throws it away. He said the thrill is in the purchase. I don't. I get high on buying illegal stuff. I don't.
You know that I've always known people that do things, but I don't do, like role playing games or whatever it is. I know people who do it and I know them very well, and they tell me all about it, but I don't do it. It's weird how that works. I don't know.
Let's say I had somebody I wanted to get rid of. You know somebody do that? I actually know somebody who do that.
I probably shouldn't say.
I went to high school with somebody who said that if I paid them $10,000, if someone, including me, paid them $10,000, they would kill someone.
That seems pretty cheap.
I haven't checked in with them recently, but I believe we are technically Facebook friends. So if it comes up... I'm at least going to start there. Don't ask me why this reminded, but there is a new Chris and Jack video just dropped. You should go check it out. And it's got Janet Varney in it, who is somebody that I really like as well. It's pretty fun. But for people in that situation, Delta 9 is a godsend because it is federally legal and you can order it in by the mail. There are places that deliver. I learned about this entire thing because at a certain point back when I still had YouTube ads, YouTube was like, you want to buy some weed? And I was like, YouTube, what are you talking about? So then I had to look into this because it was these cute little commercials to buy cannabis gummies. And they were like really careful. They did pull that like the big game shit where they were like, really, like, will it get you? Yeah, it will. Like all that. But I was like, YouTube, you're not allowed to do this. What is happening? So then I looked up the company, and that's when I learned about all of this kind of stuff. YouTube was not selling me illegal products, apparently. But so for people in that situation, it's better than nothing as a sort of relaxing thing. Now, when you look at how this kind of stuff is used for medical purposes, even self-medicating purposes like me, THC by itself isn't going to do a lot, I don't think. Like I said, it really just felt like messed up a little because I had a few drinks, and it was a different feel than alcohol, but it was, yeah. I can't say I'm never going to do it, but I feel like it wasn't that fun, and it costs so much more than stuff that's way more fun that I don't think it's likely. But it was interesting, and some of them are kind of tasty. I still have a few left. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't think I felt anything till I had about three of them. It's a little crazy for me. Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome, Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that didn't survive Order 66. It looked like every podcast got killed, but as time goes on, more and more show, oh, this podcast also survived Order 66. Oh, this podcast secretly survived Order 66. Oh, how? But there are no more podcasts because of Order 66. No, here's another one over here. We're dead. Yeah. Canonically, we were wiped out, completely caught off guard. We trusted those clone troopers to keep our podcast alive. And when they turned on us, it was the shock on our faces. Well, you'll see it in the thumbnail.
But being Force Ghosts has worked out.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's great because I lie constantly. And when people call me on it, I say, so what I told you was true from a certain point of view. Certain
point of view. That's right. It's great. I wouldn't trade being a Force Ghost for anything in the world.
Oh, Star Wars. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 733. I hope I got it right last time.
Oh, crap. Did we even say it last time? I don't know.
I think I did, but
it was 732 and 733. Yeah. That's, yes. I mean, that's definitely correct. Today is the 21st. When this comes out, it's going to be like 2 weeks from now or something. But as of it, is this spring? Are we spring now?
Well, the equinox for us right now, the equinox was yesterday.
Okay, so
If well, you consider the equinox to be the beginning. Somewhere
between 20 and 22, so I never
know. It was yesterday.
I was raised that it's 21, but then when I got into pagan shit, they were like, actually.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
All right, so it was yesterday. All right, so this is spring. It's weird because we had a week of frankly uncomfortably warm temperatures. And now we are solidly 40s, 50s in the day. It sucks. The plants were starting to bud and shit, and now we're getting freezing again. It's not fun.
No, it's not good when that happens. I mean, sometimes I like it because it seems like it kills off certain insects that I don't like. But in general, it's not a good thing for spring weather to start, and you look outside and it looks like nature's responding to that, and then a hard frost or a really cold snow comes, and you're pretty sure that a lot of things that were waking up are dead now. That's not good.
Trish sort of introduced me to this, and I don't remember this from my younger days, so I wonder if it's a thing that happens in Midwest climate more or whatever, but there's a certain point where, and it happens when you're driving on a highway or something, and there will be plants along the edge, and winter is just finishing. So they are bare branches, but they are starting to get tiny buds that are a color. Red, green, whatever. The branch is still boring, whatever. And they're little thin ones, just like in the ditch or whatever. But the result is it just looks like there's a fog of color around bare branches because you're going fast enough and they're so small.
Sure.
Because when we went up to Minneapolis recently, we were going by and there were all these just brown branches, but there was this haze of red around them. And it was just because they were all the little buds and we were going so fast. So I love that effect. To me, that's one of my favorite things about spring coming is I'm like, ooh, the color clouds are around the bare branches. My sister and my mother like to worry a lot about the weather out here because for some reason they watch the weather about Iowa. And so they will text, oh my God, you're snow, are you dead? Oh my God. And I have, as with most things in my life, I have been a shithead about it until my family has backed off. And so mostly they don't now unless it's like something that's really worrisome. But they are still curious, and I talk to my sister once a week. And so she will ask, and recently we talked this week, and she was like, how are things out there? Because on the weather map, Iowa City was all the colors. There's the thing where you're like, green is, she was like, every color passed over you at some point when we were watching the Doppler. And I was like, yeah, we've had all the weather recently, but we're fine.
All the things.
But you're not wrong. We had every weather.
Yep, it was hot, and then the next day there was a blizzard, and the next, I mean, it's like, what the heck? And
the sky has been all the colors, like,
yeah.
The ones, maybe you don't have this if you're a bi-coastal elite or a Scot, but in the Midwest, especially during the transitional periods of seasons, the sky frequently turns a color that you're like, huh, I didn't ever have an image in my head of what the sky was going to look like when the apocalypse happened, but it's that.
Yeah. Yep, that happens.
It happened like twice last week. I think the same day.
Uh-huh.
And other times where you're just like, it's 11. Why is it night out? That's the other way. You get weird shit like this. When you live in the Midwest, you can go outside in January and be like, I think it's going to snow. It smells like it's going to snow. Like, that's the kind of shit you learn when you live in this part of the country.
Yep.
Or my favorite with that one is like, oh, I wonder if it's gonna snow. When I was still kind of a baby Midwesterner, and I was like, I wonder if it's gonna snow, and Trisha's like, nah, too cold to snow. And I was like, what? What? And I had never experienced it because it don't get that cold where I come from. But that is the thing. It can get so cold that even snow is like, I mean, we like to be a little toasty. We're not crazy. Whatever, 0 degrees Kelvin. Come on, we're snow. We're not the heat death of the universe. We're just snow. Come on.
Yeah.
So they've stopped saying wind chill warning. They've stopped saying, I mean, there's still a weather condition that is the wind will kill you. Mm-hmm. But they've changed. I forget what they call it now, but it used to be wind chill warning, and now it's winter. So I don't know. But when you look at the descriptions, it's still like the fucking wind will kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, so you look at your weather app and it says it's a red flag day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that means?
Well, aren't red flag warnings about like a fire hazard due to wind, high winds and things? Okay.
It don't say that, though.
Oh, you're just kind of supposed to know that? Or?
Well, and here's the thing. You know what else a red flag means? Don't go in the water. The waves are too crazy.
Oh, well, sure. Okay, sure. To people in other parts of the country, right? Yeah.
We have highways. We have planes. I could live in a part of the country where it means one thing and go to another, and my phone tell me that, and I'm like, what? Where am I gonna surf in Iowa City? Like, and I assumed that wasn't what it was, but I come from somewhere that didn't happen. The only places I ever have hung out that is a thing about the ocean.
Yeah, well.
And so I was at Red Flag Day, and I was like, the fuck are you on, Iowa? And I looked it up then, but I had to look it up. And I'm weird like that. How many people don't live at Red Flag, whatever? Let's go camping. I'm really excited about this giant bonfire. But we have to promise not to surf while we make it. Like,
I don't even know why I know what it is.
Get your shit together, weather service. All right, I'm going to talk about my movies again.
Yes, we've got a good one and a bad one, you said.
Sort of. Really, really, really delving deep into some old ones. I believe by the time I talk to you next, we will have watched the 1960s film Salt and Pepper, in which Peter Lawford and Sammy Davis Jr. play nightclub owners in London who get embroiled in espionage. And it looks ridiculous, and I'm very excited for it.
Salt and Pepper.
Yes. And the joke is the black guy's name Salt and the white guy's name Pepper.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've never heard of it.
Why would you? It's old, from the 1960s. But yeah, I think we're going
to check it out. Yeah, but I'm old. That looks fun.
Yeah, are you from the 1960s?
1969 is when I was born. So technically, yes.
Fucking hippies.
Technically, yes.
All right. My wife also made me watch The Commitments. You know The Commitments?
I mean, that title sounds familiar, but I don't think I've seen it.
The Commitments is a early 90s movie. It's a 90s movie, I think. About some working class Dublin young people who start a soul band.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah,
and I remember when it came out. And I remember having zero interest in it. Not because it looked bad, but because it was a movie about some Northern Dublin young people who start a soul band. And why the fuck would I care? It's not based on a true story, which at the time might have swayed me. Nowadays, if it was based on a true story, I probably wouldn't watch it at all. But I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
However, it seems over the 20, 30 years since then, every single person I know has seen this movie at some point, and they really liked it. I've since learned there's lots of people who don't know what it, because it didn't make a big splash or anything. So, but maybe a lot of listeners have never heard of it. But I had known it for ages, and I was just like, why would I care? But I was also like, everybody seems to like it. So I watched it. It's good.
Wow.
It is very comfortable in that it is the most toothless working class Irish film I've ever seen in my life. Like, all of the bummers that you think could come up out of that, all of the troubling and rough to deal with and hard to look at things that could come, none of them are here. Hmm. Cole Meaney plays the main character's dad, and I was tensing myself for the, you know, you don't play rock and roll in this house. You should be paying attention to God, and it maybe beats him with a belt. I don't know. No, he was super into it from jump and really thought they should do Elvis covers, because his whole arc is that he loves Elvis more than God. And literally the Pope's on the pictures on the wall, and there's a picture of Elvis above it and things. And he's just having fun with it. Like, it's one of those movies where in a scene, a conflict arises, and in the next scene, that conflict is resolved. And in the end, the story is about, when you were young, did you ever want to make a band? These guys did. Want to watch? Like, it's a Stand By Me. Like, it's about a period of formative time for these people that then is done. It's a coming of age. It's that kind of thing. And it's fun. And it's musically very interesting, because the process is complicated. Trish read it up on me. But basically, they cast people who could actually sing and play, and they made them make a band, and they actually wrote original songs for them, had them perform them, and that's the fucking soundtrack to the movie.
Wow.
And it's good. And apparently the soundtrack did better than the movie financially. So that's kind of neat. But yeah, it's fun. It's a good time. It's a real safe time. It's comfortable, but it is good, and it's good music, and just sort of nothing awful, nothing problematic, nothing weirdly uncomfortably dated. It's just, yeah. So I was pleased.
Okay. Cool.
We also watched Will versus Chocolate. No, that wasn't it. Oh, by the way, I'm so pissed off at you. Episode 731, you stole the thumbnail. And I don't know how. I might learn how to put thumbnails on our videos just to stop you doing that. I haven't said. And I don't know what I'll replace. Probably copyrighted material. We watched the original Italian Job.
Oh.
1969. The movie that came out to celebrate your birth, apparently.
Don't know about
the 1969 that. Michael Caine led heist film The Italian Job.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
We had seen the remake.
Yeah, I think I've seen that
in the theater because we were late for the other. I've talked about this little tiny theater in Wisconsin somewhere, big rainstorm. We tried to go to see the second Matrix and it had already started, and the Italian Job was already supposed to have started, but no one had bought a ticket. So they were like, you can just go in and we'll start it now. And so we did, and we watched it in the theater. And it's a fine movie. I think we're going to rewatch that one, but maybe be high because it's not great. It's whatever. But I was like, this one's a classic. This is a famous movie. There's a line about you were only supposed to blow the bloody doors off that I think is arguably the most quoted Michael Caine line ever. At least amongst Brits. I'm constantly hearing Brits. Like when somebody wants to do a Michael Caine impression, they usually steal that line. Why do we fall shit from Dark Knight Rises kind of sneaks in there too now. But it's a way sillier movie than I realized.
Really?
It's a very, very silly movie.
I wouldn't guess that.
Me neither.
Hmm.
I would say, and I mean, action movies often have like a comedy sort of sub. I would say this is more a comedy than a heist movie. And I'll tell you how much. I'm going to spoil the ending.
Okay.
They're stealing gold. They get the gold. They've gotten it. They're away on a bus with the gold. And then something happens on mountain roads and they get stuck teetering on the edge of a cliff, and on one end is all of them holding the bus from falling, and on the other is the gold, which is quite heavy. And so we have a little scene of Michael Caine trying to get it, and every time it tips a little or whatever, he's lying on the floor, and then he turns back still there and he says to the guys, all right, don't worry, I've got a plan, no problem. Pull back, end credits.
Really?
Yes. This is a movie where the computer expert, admittedly the 1969 computer expert, is played by Benny Hill.
What?
And
I didn't know Benny Hill was in that movie.
The bigger character factor of Benny Hill, the more defining trait of Benny Hill's character, even though he's specifically brought in as the computer expert, which he is, but he also really loves big women. Which leads to various complications. And I think by the end of the movie, him being in jail because he accosted a fat lady during the heist.
Oh, no.
It's a very, like, not his accosted is like she needed help on the bus. And so he pushed on her bum. Like it's all very British body humor. Like,
yeah. And Benny Hill humor.
It's all
very
fun.
It
it's
like.
All light sex crimes. It's very fun.
Benny Hill style.
Very much. Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Trish was like, he was an actor. I was like, well, I think the Benny Hill show is in the 70s. And you don't give someone a show with their name on it unless they've already been
done something. Shit. Yeah. Like, they did something. Yeah. Right.
And he's very Benny Hill in this. Yeah. It's a silly ass movie. It's not, but it's good. I mean, I guess it's like, that's why I made it the bad one. It's not a bad one. It's a fun time. It's just goofy as shit.
Well, I don't. So the new film wasn't. It's a pretty standard heist movie, no. The new one. So that's what and I thought.
Other than we're stealing gold from Italy using Mini Coopers. And some of the character names, like nothing about, from what I can remember of the remake, nothing about it is the same.
The same, yeah.
And some of the character names are definitely not the same. Yeah, and it's super groovy and
it's super groovy.
it's a weird film, but it's fun. I like Michael Caine, and I like Michael Caine back when he still had hope in his eyes. You know, with certain exceptions, most truly iconic great actors hit a point. I'm not saying they do a bad job, but you can just see, like, they're like, this is the part after my career. Like, from here forward, I'm not going to do anything that's going to be the thing I remember on my deathbed. You know, they get the peak of my career happened. And you get Harrison Ford. Don't get me wrong, still an incredible actor, but there was a time when you're like, that man is lean and hungry and excited for his future, and now he's like, they paid me, I should do it. Yeah. And he does, and he does great, but like, this is young and eager and much more like flippant, dry wit Michael Caine than the hard, grieved mentors he plays nowadays. And it's just fun. It's goofy. He Austin Powers is not a James Bond parody. Austin Powers is a Michael Caine parody. Back in these days, he played lots of movies like this of like spy things or whatever. And he would wear these big, heavy, dark glasses like Austin Powers wears. And so it's fun. I had a good time with it. So let's see it. It's good. But be prepared. It's weird and it's silly.
Hey, that sounds like a good description of our podcast. It's weird and it's silly,
but it's terrible. So I mean that's the big difference.
Okay, well, never mind
that. We're a bad movie. That's, oh my god, we've become so popular that it becomes the magical talking. No, wait, sorry. We got to get this right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to hate this. This is the episode title, and I'm going to hate this.
Okay. What is it?
The Magical Talking Hat Podcast movie.
Oh, man.
Eventually, we become big enough that there is a film about it, and it's the Magical Talking Hat Podcast movie.
Movie. Not a comedy.
Not.
I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not a comedy.
It's 2 hours of this shot, and we're not smiling, and we're not talking. But we angle it so you can see my fan, so you know it's still going.
Still going, yeah.
Occasionally we're like...
Yeah.
When we submitted it to the studio, it was 178 minutes. They forced us to cut it down, honestly, to an uncomfortable degree. It now is a lean 123, but we will be releasing the Magical Talking Hat podcast movie. The director's cut.
Director's cut, yeah.
As soon as we figure out who directed it. William and I are the only stars, and we both have talked and agreed that at no point did anyone tell us to do anything.
Yeah.
Don't know who directed it, but once we do, we're going to make him restore some of the really crucial establishing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I do cough several times in it, and if you are watching the theatrical cut, you don't know why.
Yeah.
But it's a plot point. And also, it also explains why I'm not in the last half hour. I feel like audiences are going to get confused.
Yeah, well, studios don't care.
Yeah, it's all about money.
Just cut it out. They don't care if the audience is confused, and if the critic reviews are bad, they don't care.
I'm just happy we're getting a theatrical release.
Yeah.
I thought this was going straight to, if I'm honest, Tubi. That's what I really thought was happening. Tubi.
Premiere at Englert will be fun. It'll just be us, but that's okay.
That'd be cool. No, so now I'm like, we could do that. Like, I'm not saying we could make a movie of this podcast for so many reasons. But we could, like, it would not take the most money to, like, rent the Englert for a live podcast
episode. No, it wouldn't. Nobody would show up. But, I mean,
four people at most. I can think of like four that have the capacity to show up. I don't know if they would, but
yeah,
it would not cost them a plane ticket or an overnight stay. There's like four, so they might be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could make it a weekly thing and just like the homeless come in and listen to us record. That'd be great.
Sure. The homeless people.
Sorry, the unhoused. Podcast. That's what I was
gonna say. Yeah.
We got our gutters cleaned out for the first time.
Oh, ever?
We've had the house for like 20 years.
So like...
Trees grow in our gutter every spring.
No, yeah, yeah. So like for many years, the gutters probably haven't even been functional.
No, it just, very much so. And so we got them cleaned.
Mm.
Turns out the bottom had rusted enough that it was apparently just dirt down there. So, no bottom.
Oh no.
And it's still better though, because it just falls through, and that's still better than what it was doing.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Like, sure. It's an don't get me wrong, we gotta get new gutters.
Yeah, I gotta get new gutters, but for sure.
What we now have is actually better than what we did have.
Sure, sure.
We're the worst homeowners. I think I talked about it before. There's a Progressive insurance commercial going around right now that the premise is brand new homeowners, and so here's the fun app and it's real easy. But the joke is that there's a huge line of people, and they're all the people you have to talk to now that you own a house. So there's the water heater guy and the cable guy, and it's just a huge line. And I think the Progressive person is like, I don't even know what half of these people do. And I'm like, this is real. This is extremely real. It sucks to never be able to own a house. It also sucks to own a house. Like, the buck stops with you on everything. Yeah. And there's so much stuff. And my wife and I do none of it for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
If we had anybody to inherit this house, they would be pissed. That being said, I think we're going laundry pair shopping this weekend. Because after having a washer and a dryer that were old when we bought the house 20 years ago, and having them break down even more since then, but still technically be barely functional, the washing machine now leaks out soapy water every time we do a load of laundry.
Oh, wow. You're lucky to get this much time out of them.
Apparently, this is my limit. We put a towel in front of it. The towel gets wet. It doesn't ever dry out. It gets gross. So, like, every two loads, I have to put a towel in with the laundry and get a new towel. So, yeah, we're going to go buy new ones. And I'm super excited because we can buy the cheapest, most bare-bones one ever, and it's still going to have a billion new features for us.
Yeah, right.
Because we are comfortably working with washers and dryers that I'm going to guess are about 30 years old.
See? So
I'm excited for that.
Nothing in our house. We've replaced every single thing. We've replaced the stove. We've replaced the dishwasher three times, I think. We've replaced the refrigerator at least twice. We've replaced the washer and dryer. We've replaced the water heater. Except for the furnace. I think we still have the same air conditioner too. But Other than that, we've had to replace every, let's see, we replaced the microwave. We've had to replace everything. Everything.
We have replaced the furnace. We have replaced the air conditioning unit that came with the place. And I think we're on our I think we bought a bedroom air conditioning unit and then have replaced it. And that is all. And every other thing in our house needs to be replaced and has needed to be for quite a long,
for a long time.
And we have enough money. I don't know that it would be financially wise, but we could, without having to finance it, probably replace them all.
But see, right, we replaced these things because they stopped. Like, we didn't have a choice.
If it happens, then we have to. None of them have done that. They have just been, they're bad. Technically, we replaced the fridge in that we inherited my in-laws' fridge when they got a new one. Very early after we got the house. And it pees and always has. And we have kept it this whole time. My in-laws have had, I believe, three fridges since then.
Well, again, we never have a problem like where something just leaks a little or whatever. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it stops. We
the
have
washing machine
it.
Stopped, and we thought maybe, but then my fucking wife went on YouTube and figured out what it might be, and we bought a small part, and she fixed it. The dryer works, as we've established. It has one setting, and it never stops.
Oh,
you
so
can
you
turn
have to.
It on, and it will do its thing, of which there's only one thing. Until you open the door to it, it will do it forever if you let it.
Oh.
So you can't leave the house with the dryer on. You can't go to bed with the dryer on. But it does dry clothes more effectively than the all-in-one machine we had in Wisconsin, which was new. But those all-in-one machines, I love them. I want them to work. They don't dry clothes. Your clothes don't get dry. It does that. I'm sorry.
Now, Abby has fixed some things, like... The dryer we have now
Trish
has been fixed.
Trish is handy.
Yeah, she's replaced the heating element in that dryer, and the previous dishwasher she fixed once before it wouldn't work anymore at all. So she fixes things. But yeah, usually we buy a new thing when it's just dead, clearly dead. And that has happened to, like, we used to have a big tank water heater and it blew out. Like, we were lucky it didn't explode the whole side of the house. And we replaced it with a tankless, you know.
Oh, ours is going to do that any second. Like, ours is way overdue. And there is no indicator. Trish looked into this. With water heaters, there's no indicator that it's time to replace it, except it's been this amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, the bottom may just fall out at any second.
Yep.
And you
yep.
never know. Well, and we passed that date a long time ago. We only recently learned that we passed that date, but the time that we did without knowing was many years ago. We are probably going to get that one replaced this summer. We don't have air conditioning. We might get it. The stove, three of the burners still work. The oven, it still works. I don't know that I believe the temperature it thinks it is.
Yeah,
accurate.
Right.
I'm thinking about putting thermostat in there, but, and also, it's so dirty that when you preheat, it smells like you're cooking pizza. It's kind of nice until you're like, oh, now I want pizza, but I'm going to make casserole or whatever. Fridge, constantly pees, falling apart, gross, terrible. We need to replace it. Washer dry. Dishwasher's been dead for years. So if we may or may not ever replace that, but we've just got a dead dishwasher in there. To be fair, if I take it out, there's just a hole the cat's like hanging out in, so it's not a good time. Our bed honestly should be replaced. The mattress is very old because it was one of the first things we got as a couple, so it's over 20 years old.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. We've replaced our mattresses a couple times.
This chair, we did replace my couch with this chair, and we replaced Trish's couch with her couch. Our microwave? Sometimes it won't go when you tell it go. You hit start and it goes, and then it just stops after a few seconds. Every once in a while, it starts and the door's not closed. Like just a little, like it's fucked up. Our microwave is really fucked up. And back in the day, this wasn't a thing because you go to Walmart and spend $20, you get a microwave. Microwaves are more expensive these days. Even like dumb shitty ones. And we have a pretty dumb shitty one.
Now, how many televisions have you had?
Oh, well, we came into this relationship with some televisions.
Okay. Because we've also replaced televisions, but not like more than the other appliances.
Well, okay, if we're going for in this house.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Not in our relationship, but in this house. Yeah,
just in the house.
We came into this house with a TV. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law bought us our first giant and our first flat screen. And so it replaced the one we had, which was mm-hmm. old 32-inch big old boxy thing, whatever. It died, and we bought a new one. Mm-hmm. And it just died. We still don't know what happened, and we bought a new one. When I got my first cell phone, it was a deal that it also came with a 32-inch Samsung flat screen. And that sat in a box for a few years, and then eventually we set it up in the bedroom. And it almost never gets used. But that's it for TVs. So I guess technically we have bought one TV. We have had three TVs, but one of them is in a different room, so it didn't replace it. Yes.
I just wanted to see if you replace televisions more often than you replace everything else, which I guess technically you do, but not by very much.
This is like my fifth laptop.
Okay, well. Yeah, priorities. Priorities.
Well, but again, it's also if it works. Most of the laptop replacements aren't, oh, this is old, I should get a new one. It's, oh, shit, it's broken.
Well, but there is no way if our dishwasher died, that would be it. We would get a new dishwasher. There's just no way. We would keep going with a dead dishwasher.
No, I don't know why. At the time it happened, I don't think anybody was really doing the dishes, and then Trish was, and then she bought this elaborate dish rack that hangs over our sink. And then when I took over, I just did that too. And now I'm like, I do dishes. I basically do dishes every day, and it's not that hard. And it is extremely rare that I have more dishes than would fit in that drying rack. And I've always been uncomfortable with exactly how much you do or do not need to do before you put them in the dishwasher. So I think it would save us water. I think it would definitely save us water. But I don't know who. But also, it's us, so they make smaller ones. They make little drawer-sized ones. Mm. And Trish has thought about getting that instead. Because, again, for us, we don't need as much space for it. But we'll see. I washer-dryer is a necessity. I think the water heater will probably be this much. The pool is going to happen, and I have no idea how much that's going to cost. I'm kind of scared about how much that's going to cost and how much that's going to be in general. And then after that, the fridge probably comes next because I'm really tired of our fridge and having to. There's a lot of maintenance to it because it's broken that wouldn't have to happen with a new one. And then I think the stove and oven probably come later. I don't know. But yeah, we should get out. Hopefully this sort of. It kicks us off. Like, hopefully this experience is good and relatively painless, and then we're like, well, this is easy, we can do this all next weekend. If it really sucks,
yeah,
another decade before we play. We are lazy, procrastinating people with no children. We just have to know how much spaghetti noodles cost and how long we could live off of a pound of it. And that's sort of the only requirement. Otherwise, we get to do whatever the fuck we want.
I mean, kids are a thing, right? I mean, now we have grandkids coming over, staying over.
Kids are a thing in terms of baby-proofing and just
but being also
a functional space, and but also financially.
You spend
a lot of money.
But also you've got the dishwasher is an example. When the kids are here or running around, I don't have time to do the dishes the long way. I've got to put them in there. Or we've got to have a lot of food in our refrigerator that isn't just for us. It's for other people. So the refrigerator has to work and it's got to be a certain size. So yeah, kids are a consideration that really matter.
Also, don't let anyone in our house. That helps.
We're not big on company either, but with grandkids, we have people over all the time now. Didn't used to. But that's because we had kids and that was enough. Like, that was enough of a chore to have to keep things clean, keep things nice, replace appliances because you had to. Yeah. Kids are a thing. They really do change your priorities for sure.
Cars when they get totaled. I just saw my brother and he's like, we got another, we have a Nissan Rogue and he got one because he liked ours. And he was like, we got another Rogue. We're like, yeah. He's like, yeah, because his youngest totaled the other one. I was like, I feel like that's a rite of passage. Because I do know family. Trish's one too. There are four children in that family. Every one of them wrecked a car in their youth. Different ways. Sometimes not their fault. Sometimes shockingly stupid decisions. Sometimes easy mistakes. Whatever, but they all exactly one, never twice. Some were in an actual wreck, some just backed into a mailbox, but like they all did it once. I think that's the thing. I guess I didn't, but to be fair, I didn't get my license till way later. Anyway, none of this is interesting at all. Let's do an email.
Sure. Sure, we can do an email.
I'm really good at making air farts with my hands.
This one's from Mick. And he says, Mick. Hi, Hat. I've been having a problem lately of having opinions. Yeah, that is a
problem. I have that problem, too.
Yeah. And having no way of expressing them. That compounds the problem, sure. So I have turned once again to using my former favorite way of getting thoughts out of my head, Facebook posting. Oh my God, you're just making it worse. It started bad, got worse, now it's getting even worse. I am now once again getting the dopamine hits when someone likes me on the internet. Oh, okay. And I also am relieved I can release my opinions to others, even if it is screaming into the void. But I've also experienced a flip side of this in the past by angering people who disagree with me. As a card-carrying introvert, I am not very good with confrontation. It's why I moved away from social media. So my question is, how should I express my opinions and not let the responses drive me crazy?
There's a few things you can do. But the real answer is nothing. The best thing you can do is be William.
What does that mean?
It means you do this.
I do what?
And you are literally the only person I know who does this. You freely express your opinion and you are not at all fazed if the people around you like it, don't like it, really don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't let it impact you or let you feel bad about yourself for having that opinion or question maybe you're a terrible person or any of that. And you're the only person I know who can do it. Maybe not the only, but you are the only person who seems to do it in a way that I'm not like, well, that's awful. Because another way to do it is to be a sociopath.
Oh, yeah.
That also works. Because then you really won't care what other people think of your opinions. But, okay, here's the thing. You get to have any opinion you want. Everybody gets their opinions. They're all valid. They don't mean you're stupid. They don't mean you're terrible. They don't mean you're anything. your opinions, by themselves. But they're also up in here, and nobody gets to judge you or tell you about your opinions up there. Sometimes, if there's just a frustration in the event, I've done this recently, I will write it out. I will write essentially a giant screaming Facebook post, but I'll write it on a Word document and I won't show it to other people.
Yeah.
When Mick says expressing their opinion, I assume that means telling others my opinion. Not necessarily directly, but publicly, or not even publicly, stating my opinion in some way that other people are going to know it.
Yeah.
And that's also fine and wonderful. You're entitled to do that. And then everybody else is entitled to tell you what they think of it.
Yes, that's true.
So if you don't want people to not like your opinion, the only way to really make that happen is to not share it with them.
Right.
So at this point, your options become a couple. Maybe three. One is don't share opinions. Straight up. That's an option. And weirdly, that's one I'm learning as I get older. Sometimes I have opinions that I'm just like, I don't know that it would be, I don't see any benefit in discussing it with other people. Sometimes it's, I think it would upset them, or I don't want to fight about it. And sometimes it's just like, it's just my thing. I don't, it's not impacting a lot of other stuff. And that's the thing I've had to learn, because I was raised to just tell everybody all my opinions and thoughts on everything all the time. So let me do this. Another one, and this is one I use a lot, and I don't feel great about it, but it is probably my most common tool, because I suffer from this very similar kind of thing. Just associate with people who largely agree with your opinion. That's what I do. And very rarely do I have a problem. I go hang out with William, and I spout all sorts of shit, and he laughs. But the stuff that, like, is serious, you agree with. I don't. Yeah, I don't recall anything that, like, was a seriously deeply held belief that you and I just, like, fundamentally disagreed on.
Not a.
There's stuff where we're like, I'm like, like when we get into politics, we'll get into, like, we both want X, but we have different opinions about how you achieve X,
how you get there, things
like that. And, like, even though you and I have some definite political differences, we very easily are like, I can see why you would feel that way. Whoa. I feel this way. Like, but there's none of this, like, your belief is something I disagree with. It's more accurate to say your belief is not a belief I have, but it's a belief that totally makes sense. And I just happen to have a different one.
And the deeper we go, the more stuff, like, the more fundamental, foundational kind of core the beliefs are, the more we agree on them. Right. Yes. The less they're about, well, what do you do about it out here? And the more of it, yeah. Well, what is it? What do we want the world to look like? What do we think? How do we think people should comport themselves? How should we comport ourselves? We pretty much agree on all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I, for the most part, I don't hang out with a lot of people in general. And for the most part, I hang out with people who are largely sociopolitically in line with me, which I guess I would real roughly term leftist. I guess that's sort of the easiest touchstone for the area of sociopolitical positions that I have, sort of in that direction. And I pretty much exclusively hang out with people who are like that. I have relatives who aren't. I have some people who are further down that road than others. And I have, what's much more common is interpreting the specifics, like you and I. Like, we want the same things, but it's in different directions and all that. I certainly don't hang out with anyone I would consider right-wing or particularly conservative. And it makes me extremely comfortable and happy, and I am able to express my opinions without much fear. That being said, if I drive down a highway and see that a farmer has put a Trump 2024 sign in his yard, I can't stop crying and my day is ruined. So this is the problem. The more you shield yourself from people saying fuck your opinion, the more it hurts you and the less you're able to cope when one of those fuck your opinions sneaks in. And we live in a world where they're gonna sneak in. So the more you protect yourself, the more vulnerable, the less armor you have when you're actually I don't like using this. This is not a good metaphor for it, but the more you protect yourself from differences of opinion, the thinner skin you get. That's what it comes down to. And I protect myself quite heavily, and I have an incredibly thin skin. And I have worked hard to not dump all of that on people in conversations, and I'm much better at having more calm, comfortable conversations with people I disagree with on the outside. Not any better in here. I still am like, are they evil? Am I evil? We can't both be right. And these are such drastically different opinions that one of us is really fucked up. And I'm mad at them if it's them. They need to do better. And I'm terrified if it's me.
Yeah.
This is... I've been going back to the objective truth thing a lot lately. The idea of, like, does something have a right answer? Because you can have opinions on stuff that has a right answer. And then I get very caught up. I'm like, this. But you can have opinions on stuff that can't have a right answer. That's what opinions are, basically.
Right.
Otherwise, I guess it's theories or hypotheses or faith. If it's something that does have a right answer. But I'm always, my brain is very much, what's the best answer? Even if there's not the right answer, there's the most right answer, and we want to find that. And I think that's a terrible way to think.
Yeah.
I weirdly have been working lately on thinking less about things before I make decisions.
Oh.
Because I just spin my wheels, just reevaluating. Sure. Really. And not only does that sometimes leave me paralyzed, decisionally speaking, more often it makes me anxious. Yeah. I'm just worried. Oh, I think I got the answer. And it's one of these things, like, if I came to an answer based on the information I had, mm-hmm. and no new information has come in,
mm-hmm.
why am I reevaluating my decision again?
Right.
And trust me, I am.
Yeah.
And so I've had to learn and tell myself there isn't a right answer. You're never going to know. Pick the one that sounds best and just go with it. And yeah. I have been working on that a lot lately.
I mean, essentially this question, and you're getting at this, I think, very eloquently, is about, you know, in all kinds of instances, situations, stations in life, you're going to be faced with a dilemma like this, where, okay, well, I want to do this, and this is what I get out of it, but these are the consequences that I don't like. And so what I just really have to ask myself is, you know, is it worth it or not? And if it's not, like you were saying, well, then just don't, you can't really do that thing, because that's going to be the consequence no matter what. So in this circumstance, as you pointed out, maybe you'll get this thing off your chest. Maybe you'll be glad that someone gave it a thumbs up or whatever. Invariably, someone's going to give it a thumbs down. I mean, that's just how it comes with the territory. And either you're going to be okay with that because the thumbs up means so much to you, and the relief of saying it out loud to a whole bunch of people means so much to you, or you're going to stop doing it because, nope, when someone gets mad, that takes all the fun out of it. And that's life. In lots of circumstances, in lots of situations, we have to make these choices. Mm-hmm. But also, as you're saying, in many of these choices, the things you're weighing, one of the things involved is, as you say, how thick-skinned you are, like how much you can weather the criticism or the stress or the whatever it is. And so that plays a part.
You cannot express your opinion to other beings without opening yourself up to people disagreeing.
Correct.
What you can do is set boundaries on the type of discussion of your opinions you are willing to have.
Yes, right.
So you can be like, I have this opinion, and they come back and they're like, you're a fucking fascist. You'd be like, nope. I don't want to have this kind of conversation
with you. Yeah, right.
And then other people, you say, I have this opinion. They're like, wow, I feel very differently. Let's talk about it. That could be a comfortable conversation, potentially.
Right. Correct.
So you do get to control that. You do get to control, I'm going to express my opinion, and we can discuss it. Not in a mean way, not in a fighting way, in good faith, which happens so seldom online. I definitely don't think you're entitled to be like, I use this phrase, and I don't on accident, but I had an ex who would use it. I hate the phrase, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because here's what that phrase means for those of you who English isn't your first language. I'm just saying means, usually you put it at the end. So yeah. It means I just expressed, or if you put it at the beginning, it's I'm expressing my opinion on something, and the rest of you can just shut the fuck up. I'm just saying means I'm going to tell you my opinion. I am not soliciting any feedback.
Yes, that is kind of what it means.
And that person, fuck you. No. That's, although, I mean, that's just inherently selfish, among other things. Like, no, you're telling me I can't express my opinion, essentially. Like, I'm gonna say mine, and yours, if you disagree, fuck right up.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you're telling me that up front. Well, in that case, fuck right off with your initial opinion. Whatever it was.
I'm not sure it always means that, but it usually does mean that. Yeah.
I'm not sure everybody thinks that's what they mean when they say it.
That's
it fucking means, people. Break it down, like, because inevitably it comes up when somebody says opinion and other person says very strong, pretty conclusive fact that that opinion is inaccurate. And then they say, I'm just saying. I'm just saying is frequently a response when you have just been successfully argued against. It gets back to people who say, I'm just saying, don't want to know if they're wrong. Remember, I've talked about this before, when you get when people are like fighting over stuff and you want to ask them if it turned out you were, I know you absolutely 100% believe you're not wrong and you can't be wrong, but if in a hypothetical world you were wrong, would you want to know about it? Think everybody likes to think they would say yes, but most people, the answer is no. And if you say, I'm just saying, that's essentially saying, if I'm wrong, I don't want to know about it. Because I wasn't doing anything. I was just saying. So it's just words. The words have come out and they're just floating. You can't do anything with them anymore. You can't argue or discuss them. Because I didn't say I was discussing. I said I was just saying. I didn't say I was listening. I didn't say I was paying attention to you. I didn't say I was analyzing. I am just saying. I hope that helps. But this is very, like, I know all of this, and I'm very confident in my opinions on this topic. That being said, this is something I struggle with constantly, all the time.
Well, as far as being thick or thin skinned, I mean, that's a thing that, you know, like, I'm a pretty thick skinned individual, as I have observed about myself and other people have observed about me. I think what you were saying earlier was a little bit, is that quite. A person can have their opinion.
I think of you as less thick skinned, as hermetically sealed.
Okay, but listen, I grew up with a whole bunch, you know, three brothers, and, you know, we were ruthless with one another, right? I mean, and then I grew up in a small town where everybody was pretty ruthless with one another, but not in a, I know it's hard for some people to understand. I think you and I have talked about this. It's hard, a little hard for you to understand how all of that can be true. And yet it didn't feel mean. It didn't feel like it's just.
It recontextualized.
Yeah. 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 And you get to a point where you like, I guess you do develop a thicker skin through that process, but I didn't go into life thinking, well, I'm going to develop a thicker skin. I mean, my life experience brought me to a certain point. So if a person, I'm not sure that a person can just at a certain point of their life, think to themselves, well, I'm going to develop a thick, I mean, they can think that, but I wouldn't even know what the process would be because I didn't go through a deliberate process. It's just what my life was like. So I don't know how it works.
Wonderful for you to have organically achieved a healthy boundary with people around you. Lovely. Some of us are fucking broken.
Just saying.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
I wasn't done. I said it at the beginning. I said it at the beginning, not at the end. I had more to say. I'm just saying that for a person who hasn't developed that in their adulthood, I'm not sure it's really their fault. And I'm also not sure that it's unreasonable for them to have very different boundaries than I have based on their life experience. Like it's okay. It's okay if you're more sensitive than I am, or I'm less sensitive than you are. We can all have the boundaries that we like. And if a person feels better living in a bubble or whatever, because as you know, living in a bubble is kind of criticized right now. I'm not sure that that's fair.
Always criticized, but
I think it's probably okay for some people if it helps them to live in a bubble. Don't you think?
And that opinion, folks, if he's wrong, he doesn't want to know.
No, I do want to know. That's why I'm asking.
No, because you said, I'm just saying.
I said it at the beginning.
Yes,
not at the
it
end.
Still applies. I told you it still applies. The only difference between the beginning and the end is if you say at the beginning, it's the opinion I'm about to express. Do not give me feedback on.
No.
If you say it at the end, it's the opinion I just expressed. Do not give me feedback on.
No. I was trying to clarify what I was saying. That's what I meant.
And you failed, is what I'm saying. Now you're a monster. This is not part of you. You just had it. You just had the blessed upbringing of having siblings and whatever.
Yes, I was very lucky. Yes, very lucky. And but I think people who weren't fortunate that way shouldn't be held to the same standard that I.
No. This is a personal standard.
Yeah.
This is not Mick saying I should be able to go around and do this. I mean, he might be, but this is Mick saying I want to. How can I? And Mick, like me, is not built for it.
Well, I don't know the answer either, is what I'm saying.
I do, because I've had to do this.
Yeah.
That's like, what I'm saying. I'm telling you, William, love you to death. I never say it to you. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
This is my area of expertise.
Okay. I wasn't challenging it or questioning it or anything.
No, I'm just teasing you because you're like, I think this should be fine, and I don't know how. And I'm like, no, you don't. You literally don't know, and I do, right. And I'm about to say.
Okay.
It has to be an insanely deliberate thing. It has to be the exact thing you're talking about, where you have to say, I want to develop a thicker skin and I'm going to work at it. And you have to put yourself in situations where you have disagreements and arguments with people, and you're going to walk out of there and you're going to feel awful. You're going to be like, they said such mean things to me. And it hurt my feelings. And I said mean things back. Like, and not mean. I didn't say, like, you're a fucking idiot. But, like, I was very loud and strong in my opinion because I felt very strongly about whatever it was. And I was very caught off guard by what they said back. And maybe I got defensive. And now I feel awful. I kind of am mad at them. And I feel like a terrible person myself. And then you have to wake up the next day and be like, I talked to that person and they seem fine. So apparently it wasn't as horrific for them as it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still like me. I don't think they intended to hurt my feelings at all. and it looks like I didn't really hurt them, at least not significant. Like, they got over it. They seem fine now. I'm going to remember that. And then you have to do it again and again and again and again, and eventually figure out what hurts me isn't necessarily what hurts you. And I'm different and I can survive it. And I do this now. I do this with, there are people in my life now who, again, I'm pretty safe. They're still mostly in my bubble, but they're a little different. We have different backgrounds, which has led us to different opinions on certain things and just sort of ways about how their personalities and stuff. And so sometimes I think some of these people, I don't understand how they do anything and how they decide things. And I'm just crazy. And we will get in conversations and I leave them feeling bad. I leave them either not liking them for their opinions or not being hurt or feeling like I overstepped and hurt people's feelings. And this is something you're familiar with. But it's opinion. It's frequently sort of opinion based. And it's a one day at a time thing. And I have to see a therapist regularly and tell her I got together with friends and this is how it went. And it felt awful. And this is what happened. And she's like, so how do you feel now? And I'll just be like, well, I think this is what, like, I've had a chance to think about it and this is how, so I don't think it was as bad as I thought. And I'm taking some comfort in that. And then it happens more and more and more. And the people don't stop being your friends. And you can even say to them, this is a thing I have trouble with. I think I've had this with you. Definitely had this with people. I'm like, I just want to upfront say, I have a very thin skin and I can both get my feelings hurt very easily and worry that I've hurt your feelings. So I'm letting you know up front so you can sort of keep that in mind while we're talking, because that may be what's going on. And usually it doesn't matter because, again, they're just like, we had a talk. It was fine. And I'll be like, oh, my God, they were so mean and I said such cruel stuff. And they have nothing. And I suspect I've had conversations like that with Mick, where Mick was on the other side. Because I've definitely had conversations with Mick that I was like, we just had a talk and it was fine. And later found out that it fucked with his head pretty bad. So I get the perspective, but it is not necessary. William is 100% right. It is not necessary. You should not be forced to do this. And if you're happy in a bubble, be in a bubble. I am heading that way more. I have a very small group of friends, and I cherish those friends, and that's enough. And it's a handful of people, and that's kind of all I need in my life. And I spend a lot more time alone, and I'm much more comfortable with it. So William is absolutely right in that none of that is required. But going from the perspective of, if this is something you want to be better at, then it one foot in front of the other. It is unlike William's charmed upbringing. It has to be incredibly deliberate, and it kind of sucks to start with. But I will say, I'm way better than I used to be, and I really love it. And I feel I'm at the point now where the amount of pushback I get on my opinions is sort of just right. There are certain people I hang out with who just occasionally we will get into a little debate, and afterwards it still doesn't feel great, but it was exercise. It felt like an emotional workout, and I feel stronger for it. And I've learned, having done it many times, they're fine. Like, it's not phased. They've already forgotten the conversation. Like, whatever. It's not a big deal for them. And so it feels better doing it, and I like that. But it's not easy, and it's a decision you have to make, and you have to keep making it every day.
Sure, I mean that sounds like the advice you'd need to give for a person making any kind of change in their life.
Yeah, I mean, right? It's the advice for anyone in this situation. It's just hard. The muscles are atrophied on somebody like Mick and I, and so doing the same thing that everybody else does and should do in the situation is just harder. But it's never as, well, almost never as bad as you think it is.
Mm.
Where you're like, yeah. Oh, they're never going to forgive me. And I don't, and they'll be like, what? Oh, no, we disagreed. It was fine. And I'll be like, really?
Yeah, sure. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a recent problem because while I've always had this condition, up until recently, I believed that I was right about everything in the world. And that made certain interactions easier to do. It's easier to have differences of opinion when you know you're right. But unfortunately, a few years ago, I learned that I don't know shit about shit. And that I'm wrong. And mostly, my belief of how everybody else's brains were working could not have been more inaccurate.
Mm.
And so now, I don't trust any opinion I have. And so I'm terrified of people not agreeing with me.
Mm. Is that a phase you think you're going through and you think you'll get to something else still where you are skeptical maybe about your opinions, but not afraid of them being challenged. You know what I'm saying? Like, is this a step in a different direction than where you're at now?
No, I mean that frequently that's the hardest question I have to answer is where do I want to be going?
Oh, right.
As a person and whatever. I mean, I hope so. I keep myself very sheltered, and I'm really starting to think I'm not gonna stop that.
Oh, okay.
As somebody who socialized constantly and I have that, I always think of it in the little Sims meters. Yeah. I have that little social gauge, and it does mm-hmm. get down low, and I need to socialize.
Mm-hmm.
But after quite a while of coming to terms with the fact that I now spent most of my time alone, I now like it better. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, maybe I won't. I don't know. The older I get, the less I give a shit about anything ever. And so that, I mean, that sounds callous, but what I mean is I'm just like, on most issues, I kind of don't care what your opinion is. I mean, it's interesting academically,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, okay, you're not the president. So if you have an opinion that I'm like, oh, that could ruin. Yeah. If it was the president, you're not that person. Like, if you want to nuke China, I don't give a shit because you don't got nukes. Like,
yeah.
And just so many things. Every single person posting on Facebook. Sorry, Mick, but it doesn't fucking matter and you all should stop. Always. Like, it is not useful to any social interaction to just stand up on your chair and yell your opinion in a crowded room. And that's what we're all doing all day, every day on these social media things. And I mean, everybody's in the same room. We can all stand on our chair and yell back at each other, but that's all we're doing. I mean, I shouldn't say why. I understand why you want to feel important, and it makes you feel important. It makes you feel like your opinion matters, but whoever you are, whoever is listening right now, there is a person so ignorant, clueless, straight up stupid, narrow-minded, myopic, that whoever's listening, you are unto a god in your faculties compared to this person. And they fucking go on Facebook and tell you their feeling on guns and feminism and whatever else. And people get mad about it, and people argue with that person about it. It's so pointless. Stop it. So pointless. And the older I get, the more pointless all of this shit seems. And I get caught up in it. The dopamine fuck up is a major issue. And I've got a lot of other things like that where I'm like, I think I maybe do. I guess certain YouTube videos I do that. That's why I talk about how I avoid Schadenfreude. It does things to me. It's real fun to watch at the time, but it just gets me riled up in some way, and I'm twitchy and I'm looking for a fight. Because it's just like, oh yeah, people are terrible. Great. Thanks for that reminder. So the older I get, the less I give a shit about this stuff. But yeah, if you want to express your opinion safely, express it by yourself or express it to someone that you know for a fact will agree with you. That's the only way.
Or someone who won't judge you and maybe will engage in a conversation with you. I mean, you know.
Or William. Sorry. Yes.
Just going to say, somebody, not everyone.
Somebody, either yourself, somebody who you know will agree with you, or William.
Come on.
No, you're 100%. I know this makes you uncomfortable, William, but and don't get me wrong, there's so much wrong with you. So much. But in this specific area, you really have achieved an ideal and a dream that, A, I've never encountered with anyone else, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I have never encountered it with anyone. If you're listening and you're like, oh, what about me? No. Sometimes I express opinions to you, and you're pissy about it. And even if you're very carefully worded, I can tell you're pissy about it, and I get uncomfortable in our conversation. Sometimes, not all the time. If it was all the time, I wouldn't be friends with you, so you're fine. And if I used to be friends with you, I'm not anymore. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I genuinely have no idea who's listening. My point is, William is really good at it. And William, you have sticking points where you get a little defensive. But even then, you tend to close in and think, oh, I must be doing something. Like, it doesn't usually hit me too hard. But in general, no, you don't give a shit about other people's opinions.
I mean, I don't know if I'd put it that way, but I don't.
We can agree to disagree on the phrasing because you're real good at that.
Okay.
And he can't handle, this is one of the things wrong with him. He can't take compliment, but it's true. So yeah, if you really want to be safe, express it to yourself, express it to someone you already know agrees, or express it to you. But otherwise, if you want to change that about you, it is a slow, deliberate process, and it's fairly worth. It's not necessary. William's very right on that. It's not necessary, but if you want it, it's hard. It's doable. But yeah, Facebook is not the answer, and I say that regardless of question. Facebook is never the answer to anything ever. It's awful.
I'm not on it, so.
Twitter was better than Facebook. X is not better than Facebook, but Twitter was better than Facebook, in my opinion. If you disagree, it's going to hurt my feelings, so shut the hell up. But if you do disagree with any of this stuff, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell about it. Know that if you disagree, I'm going to be sitting there reading it crying, but you won't have to see it, and it'll help us in the algorithm. Which one? I don't know. But surely an algorithm exists where if you make a comment at themagicaltalkinghat.com, it'll notice and do something.
Hopefully.
Also, please email us, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I love your emails, except some of Azure Talents. But otherwise, I love your emails. And I like talking about them. And I like talking about them more than I like talking about what William's doing, because it's usually boring except for the parts that he legally must keep confidential, where all the fun stuff is. So here we are, Peter's Donuts. All right, pick a number.
7.
This is a new one.
Oh, good. That's
all right. Good, your weekly side quest. It's real funny to start. Enter cryosleep.
Oh.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Everybody enter cryosleep. You'll wake up for the next episode. Now, enter cryosleep. Go to bed early tonight or sleep in tomorrow morning.
I'll probably do both.
I can sleep in on Saturdays and only Saturdays for half the year. Monday through Friday, we wake up.
Sure.
At 7:30. I should say all of this is predicated on my normal waking time is 7:30, which I know is hell of sleeping in for a lot of people. But I wake up at 7:30 Monday through Friday. That's when Trish wakes up. She goes to work. I take her to work. We start our day. Even though I don't have a job, 7:30. Sundays, I wake up at 7:30 because then I go to the grocery store at 8:30. It's a habit I picked up during COVID, and I still like it because nobody's there, and they get crazy crowded on the weekends, and I hate that. So I go, and also I get breakfast for my wife, bring it back. It's a donut and a cheese stick, and I put it in the bed next to her for when she wakes up because she's really lazy on a Sunday morning. Saturday, we wake up at 7:30, go to the farmer's market. But farmer's market's only from May through October. So we are currently still in the time period where Saturday mornings I can sleep in. That's the only day I can. So I probably will tomorrow. Although I don't know, because I think tomorrow we're going shopping for laundry pairs. And I think we're going to Kelowna. And I think we're partially going to Kelowna because that's where the bakery is and we want the fucking donuts.
Right.
So we might have to go early for that. I don't know. So maybe we won't. But normally I do. I sleep in the... Also, as I think I've said before, I take fucking naps all the time. I take nap almost every day. And it can range from 30 to 45 minutes or 4 hours. So that helps me. But yeah, sure. So everybody...
Sure.
Enter cryosleep. Do you ever go to bed early?
Sure.
Yeah. How early? Like, I'm not talking about a time. How early compared to what you would consider your normal bed?
Like 2 hours, probably. 2 hours earlier, really? Sometimes. Yeah.
The other night I tried to do it and I just wasn't tired enough. So I got up again. I maybe 30 minutes to, I would say my, if I have to pick a normal bedtime, it's 11:30. I would say the time I go to bed is somewhere between 10:30 and 12:30.
Uh-huh.
It varies, and it depends on how tired I am and when I took my melatonin and how that's kicking in or not. Wow, you ever say things and like midway through you're like, I'm bored by what I'm saying?
Me? Yeah, that's every day. That's every single podcast, many times during the day, pretty much every session that I'm in with a client. Yeah.
Well, while Mick and I are figuring out how to have differences of opinions without killing ourselves, you can work on trying not to bore yourself with your own words.
Oh my gosh. The kids were over, and like one of the only superpowers I have is helping kids get to sleep because in my presence they get so bored. And my daughter makes fun of me, so it's like, so one of the kids was like on my lap and I was kind of drumming on his back while music was playing. My music, Abby's put a lot of my music out on YouTube with these little lyric videos. There's like 14 of them now.
Uh-oh.
And we were just listening to that. And I was kind of drumming on his back and he went to sleep pretty fast. And I said, see, boredom. I can do it every time.
You boring is just, I mean, you're across the bear. You boring yourself with your own, like,
oh sure.
I mean, oh, yeah. I don't want to trivialize your handicap. But it feels like there's a real straightforward solution to your problem.
Well, I don't know. I haven't figured it out in 56 years. Just so
don't say the things.
Yeah, of
if
course.
If you're bored, close your mouth.
No, I know. Yeah. I know that.
If other people are bored and you're into it, keep talking. Be proud. No. Like, if you're bored, if you're boring yourself, you don't have to talk.
I know. I get it. You think in 56 years I haven't tried that one?
You're right. I'm I am solutioning to a situation I have only just encountered, but damn, dude, that sounds yeah. rough.
If I could just do that, it wouldn't be a problem.
I'm just like, if I do that, I just don't talk it. I just stop the words. But, oh, man.
Oh. Well, you know, part of the problem is not realizing until it's too late. Oh.
That was boring.
Yeah,
that was boring. Oh, I mean, boring. I have that all the time. But... No, I mean, literally mid-sentence, I'm like, why am I saying this?
Yeah, I you just don't know until it's really too late.
No, I also am extremely boring. Why do you think I gesticulate and talk so loud? Because if I just was normal, people would be like, this is boring as shit.
Well, you know,
now they're like, oh, guy have a seizure. I don't know what he's talking about, but it's funny. All right, people, we're so out of time here, and William's got important head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. William's got a job. He's got to go figure out his job. You all go do your jobs and come back next week. And if you don't have a job, then that's good. I almost did the thing again where I ended the Zoom meeting instead of the recording. I'm gonna go out and nap.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.